when thinking about the theme of elders and shepherding, like the others before me, I want to share something that I feel is of value to all those involved in the process. And I also want to freely admit at the outset, I certainly do not consider myself an expert on any of this. I'm still making mistakes and I'm still practicing and trying to grow personally and at the same time lead others in our congregation back home. And one area that I think is of utmost importance is that of communication. Communication is vital in any business, any team effort, a sporting event, any military operation, our governments, and certainly in our marriages. And it's easy to show examples in businesses and in teams and in battles, in nations, and certainly in marriages where it has been defeated or deteriorated or destroyed because of a breakdown in communications, as we call it. And so why would it be any less true in the relationships of the church, and in particular that of the elder to the flock? The scriptures actually offer a lot of wisdom and instruction about communication, how we should do so with one another. And of course, these scriptures that I'm going to refer to apply to every one of us, not just to elders, but the elder and his family and to some degree his children need to be models in some ways to the rest of the flock, and equally so in these areas of communication skills. And again, I don't claim to have mastered them, but I do certainly recognize their value and their need in my life and in the work of any elder at a congregation as he shepherds others. And one verse that immediately comes to my mind when I think about the theme of communication is James, the first chapter, verse 19, one of my favorites. James says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." That short verse is a model for every single one of us, but I think especially for those in leadership roles. Several years ago, I learned an interesting backstory to that verse, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey might say. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 16 through 25, you'll hear the story of Abraham and his sons Ishmael and Isaac, who were born about 14 years apart. And when Isaac was born and weaned, you remember that Ishmael in some way mocked him. And so God required Abraham to send out Hagar, the mother, the bondwoman, and her son Ishmael. And instead, the promises were through Isaac. Well, we know much about that story, but he did also promise that Ishmael would be protected and that his sons would be princes in some capacity. And in chapter 25, he lists the names of those 12 sons of Ishmael. And of particular note is verse 14. In the middle of that, it lists three sons by the names of Mishma, Duma, and Massa. Nothing particularly special about that unless you study their names. A look at the Hebrew reveals that these three names basically mean hearing, silence, and burden. Mishma means hearing, from a root word that means to hear intently and to listen intelligently, to consider, to listen. Duma means to be dumb or silent. Massa, to bear burdens, to be patient, perhaps. And some scholars consider this to be the basis of a famous Hebrew saying, "Hear much, say little, bear much." And James chapter 1, verse 19 is possibly based upon that very thing. It's very likely that James and the other apostles had heard that all their lives. Hear much, say little, bear much. And so James writes, "Every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." And from this, these three simple names, we learn some principles, I think, that especially apply to those in leadership roles, but also to every one of us. Mishma the hearer. You know, years ago, I attended a training seminar, and the speaker noted some things that really stood out to me, and I've never forgotten them, about our training in regards to communication. He said that most of our training is in writing, since we're a child, from the time we're a child, or speaking, but very little bit of it is in hearing and reading. Over 60% of our time is spent, on the average, hearing or reading combined. But less than 40% is spent in public speaking or in writing to others. Now, we all know folks that exceed those numbers, and we know people that talk more than their 30%, which is what he said most people talk. But these are averages. And so the point really is that we are trained more in what we do less. Not many of you have had professional or any kind of formal training probably in how to be a better hearer. I haven't. I can't say that I really have, but yet that's what we do the most. And so it's important for us to learn to be good hearers like Mishma was. And another interesting tidbit that he threw out during the seminar was that most of us can hear about four times faster than we can speak. Our hearing is 400 to 500 words a minute, and our speaking is about 100 to 150. And so I've often thought that when somebody says, slow down, you're talking too fast, you can easily say, you're just listening too slow. And we know that's true because of men like Joe Heisel, who can speak so rapidly and yet keep your attention and you can follow what he has to say. Well, as shepherds and leaders in congregations, I must learn to be a good listener. And I think firstly, as Brother Reggie pointed out last night, one of the things we must learn to listen to is the Word of God. Shepherds need to be grounded in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, Romans 10 and 17. It doesn't come by any other method. It doesn't come by dreams or by mystical means, but it comes by being ingrained in the Word of God. And that's true for me as a leader, but it's also true for every one of you. In Matthew 13, verses 13 through 17, Jesus denounced those who were refusing to hear what he had to say. And you recall that. He said, that's why I'm speaking to them in parables, because hearing they don't hear, and seeing they don't see. And he quotes Isaiah in that regard. In James, the first chapter, verses 22 through 25, James reminds us that the good hearer must also be a good doer. It's not just hearing, it's not just sounds falling upon my eardrum, but it's the ability to put those into practice that makes me a good hearer. Obedience is required, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In Acts the 7th chapter, verse 57, as Stephen was being stoned, the Bible says certain ones stopped their ears and ran upon him to slay him. It seems like a childish thing to do, but we see also that happening over in the Old Testament in Zechariah, the 7th chapter, verse 11, and Jeremiah 6, verse 16, where they refused to hear the prophets. They stopped their ears like little children. Now, if we literally saw somebody doing that, we would think it's foolish and childish. But Christians, sometimes we do that. We refuse to hear the words of others when they're trying to help us. We need to open our ears and be receptive. And of course, that also means we need to be receptive to reading the scriptures, which is God's way of talking to us, and we hear God speak. But also need to learn not to listen not only to the Word of God, but to rebuke that is backed by the Word of God. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. And of course, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Titus 1:13, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. There are going to be times when we must rebuke and we must accept rebuke. And so I need to be receptive to that if I'm going to be really a good hearer. How willing am I, and you can ask the same, how willing am I to be told that I'm wrong? Nobody likes that. I don't like to be told when I'm wrong. It's an unpleasant feeling, but it's more unpleasant to find out later that I have been doing something wrong and detrimental for a long time and nobody really pointed it out to me. That's a worse feeling, and that certainly has worse consequences. In Revelation 3, verse 19, Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." But not only should we be good listeners to the Word of God and to the rebukes that might come our way, we must learn to hear the needs of others, be receptive. And this is where I've often failed, and I acknowledge that I have been aloof, or I have been out of tune, maybe, with the needs of those around me and their situations and conditions. But we need to be ready to help, and unselfish and giving and impartial. And many passages teach that we are to be caring for one another. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 25, instead of division in the body, he says, care for one another. Galatians 5 and 13, serve one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, he says, comfort each other. And the idea of one another, of course, we know has about 100 occurrences in the New Testament. And it denotes that idea of a mutual and reciprocal relationship that we have and caring about one another. We need more people like Mishma, who was a good hearer. And nowhere is this more needful than those in the eldership role, and again, their wives, because they can sometimes cause problems and destroy that relationship. And as I said, sometimes I'm oblivious, but I'm thankful that my wife is not always so. And she sometimes picks up on things that I have overlooked. And so that's another blessing of the elder, having a faithful wife. And the shepherd concept, of course, we could spend a lot of time on that. How that the shepherding concept greatly involves caring for the flock. Not only protecting them, but also providing for them. And so we have the good hearer. Second brother was Duma, the name that means silence, perhaps the idea of thoughtful silence before he spoke. Perhaps he was a man who rarely spoke. You know people like that, but maybe he's like long ago E.F. Hutton. Some of the crowd won't understand that, but when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens, and the whole crowd in the commercial would turn to see what he had to say. And you know people like that, who say very little, but when they talk, it's worth hearing because they've thought it out. You know, God designed us to be more hearers than he did speakers. He gave us two ears, but only one mouth. The ears are placed on both sides of the head to hear in both directions, yet the mouth projects in one. The ears are always open, but the mouth is normally closed. And the mouth and the tongue especially is protected and guarded by those sharp teeth. And so God, by design, seems to want us to be more receptive to hearing than giving our two cents worth half the time. There is wisdom in few words. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil." You know, I think the sacrifice of fools Solomon defines in the next verse, verse 2, when he says, "Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." The fool is often the one who has to say something, thinks it's important, and says it, not realizing that he is a fool. Proverbs 17 and 27, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." And I think that may be the basis for what I believe it was Abraham Lincoln. Others have said it was Einstein or Mark Twain. But as a famous saying, it is better to be silent and thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. And you've seen people like that as well. James, the 3rd chapter, tells us a lot about the tongue and the power and the danger of the tongue and how we must control it. And of course, Colossians 4, verse 6 applies to all of us. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Learn not to speak too quickly, and that's something I'm still trying to master. Sometimes, in the past especially, I felt like I had a quick and witty response to a situation. And maybe it was, but it wasn't appropriate. It wasn't best for the situation. That's why James says, be slow to speak. Unfortunately, what happens often is 5 or 10 seconds after I say it, my mind does the thinking that it should have done 5 or 10 seconds earlier. Perhaps that never happened to Duma. I think we should also always ask those age-old questions. Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary before we say anything? Thirdly, we have Massa, the burden bearer. I think this means a couple of things, perhaps. It may mean that he controlled himself and he was slow to anger. And that's what James seems to allude to. Anger certainly must be controlled, and many scriptures point that out. Proverbs 16 and 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes the city. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. And Ephesians 4 verse 26, we know Paul says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And so it's possible sometimes to have reasons for anger, but Paul says, work it out. And don't let it even last for the duration of the day. Now, this may also allude not just to controlling our anger, but I think it may also just be the idea of patience. Maybe the name Massa means one who was patient and bore the burdens of others. He was a burden bearer. We know people like that who take on the needs of others. And many scriptures, again, time won't permit, but will show that it is our obligation to bear the burdens of one another and so fulfill the law of Christ, especially those who are weaker than you as you help them grow. The elder and his wife and family must not be easily angered, and they must be patient with others, and they must be able and willing to bear the burdens of others, especially babes. And this is also borne out in the instruction to elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and for in Titus the first chapter. In those places, the elder said to be self-controlled, temperate, not soon angry, blameless in front of others. There's great divine wisdom, I think, in God requiring more than one man as an elder. We are human, and sometimes as elders, we may be dealing with a person or a family or a situation with whom we've had previous contact and dealings and frustrations. And there are times, and I admit it's happened to me, that I've just had to say, I can't involve myself. I'm going to have to step back and let the other elders consider this situation, handle this situation. I have too many personal feelings, and I don't want to let my anger or my personal feelings interfere with good judgment. And I recognize that's not an ideal situation, and that I need to work on the problem and I need to work on the relationship, but it's the reality that we sometimes face as leaders. Likewise, we sometimes see people who are just a little bit closer to one of the other elders. They have a better, closer relationship with them than they do with me. And I'm not going to force myself in that situation. I will turn it over and defer to another elder. And so that, again, is the wisdom of a multiplicity of elders. We need to recognize that reality, I think, and take advantage of it. But whenever these situations occur, I would also say we must not undermine the other elder. It's not my place to plant seeds of doubt in his ability or the situation, but rather I would try to build the relationship or rebuild the relationship or whatever I can to get those things strengthened once again with the member of the flock. So like Mishma, Duma, and Massa, as their names reveal, I think all of us, especially leaders, need to learn to work on our spiritual hearing, being a thoughtful hearer, swift to hear, a silent forethought, guarded speech, the thoughtful speaker, slow to speak, and anger and patient burden bearing, the thoughtful helper, slow to wrath. Again, these are principles for all, but especially for the elder, his wife, and his children.